Welcome to the Law Firm Growth Lab, the science of scaling your practice. 3, 2, 1,
action.
Well, if we hadn't met, I'm Scott Berry, and I'm here with Kelly Brubaker. We're at Kaleidoscope 2025 in Austin, and Kelly actually just got off the stage in a fantastic session that I really think that you need to hear about. People were enjoying it and very engaged, and this is a great opportunity to learn. So Kelly, can we talk about that session? It was about data and what kind of data you should be looking at that would drive growth, right?
Yeah, so I know a lot of firms that I've worked with over the years. So I am a CPA, just to kind of step back a second. I am a CPA. I work primarily with law firms. I'm a fractional CFO. And a lot of times I will talk to firms who are just frustrated, but they can't put their finger on what am I frustrated about? And it's because they're trying to manage their firm based on vibes and just gut feelings. I frequently will say I love numbers because the numbers don't lie. Although I've had to like clarify that a little bit, that like accurate numbers don't lie. So, because I had somebody call my bluff a little bit on something and I was like, well, the raw data was wrong. I had the right answer based on what you gave me.
Right.
That's the thing,
that
right?
That doesn't count.
Like as a lawyer, I mean, lawyers just know people lie. And like, but as a lawyer, you've had enough experience dealing with clients or, you know, opposing, you know, that you can kind of identify the liars.
Yeah, you should question these numbers.
And that's my thing. Question your numbers. Make sure that what you see, the underlying data is correct.
Yeah.
And then use that information. And I teach people, I teach firm owners how to use their information to make better decisions. Now, I will tell you, sometimes you're making the best decision based on crappy decisions, like options. But I at least can narrow it down.
Options.
Absolutely. I can narrow down that you have options. These are your options, better, best, worst, you know, whatever those are. But it's better than having no data that can support where you're heading.
Yep.
I mean, so
well,
yeah.
What's the hope that someone could actually get data? What would this look like if there was a law firm that said, you know, this has been bugging me for a while. I really don't think I'm looking at the right stuff.
Yeah.
How would you go about helping them?
So first I'm going to understand what their history is, where they're coming from. And I meet clients where they are. So there's no firm. I mean, I've had firms that I've started with them day one. And so like no business background. And like from my standpoint, no judgment at all. I mean, I'm a firm owner. I've owned my accounting firm for 20 years. So I started with no help. My parents, my dad was a fireman. My mom worked in retail. I mean, they flipped out when I quit my job to start a firm. They were like, what? What are you doing being self-employed? And they thought it was the worst day ever. So I went from being like the favorite child to...
I mean, Kelly, were you really the favorite child?
Not That's really, because I'm the oldest. No, my brother, my younger brother, man, he's got it all, even to this day. But I know what I've been through. I mean, I have evolved from, you know, I started with a home office in the early 2000s, which was unheard of back then. But essentially, I was going out to clients to work. And, you know, I've evolved. I mean, I started, you know, by the time I hired staff and had an office, I had a physical server. I had a closet with the server and that had issues. But, you know, and then evolving to the cloud. Like, I've gone through all these iterations. I've grown. I've gone from being everything to, you know, cleaning the toilets, to taking out the trash, to managing, you know, intake and all that. Like, I've done it all. And so I just meet people where they're coming from.
So you can identify with, especially solopreneurs.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And then once I understand where you're coming from, it's then trying to figure out where do you want to go? And I actually have a handful of clients who are like, I'm solo. I just need to keep the lights on. Until I retire or what, you know, whatever it is. I'm happy with how things are, but something's missing. My bookkeeper can't explain things to me. My tax preparer wants to have no discussion at all. They just want to say, here's, you know, sign this 8879 filed tax return and here's how much you owe. And they don't want to have any discussion about it. That's where I come in. I come in and say, okay, well, what questions do you have? And I will tell you like 9 times out of 10, the biggest question, the most frequently asked question is, why is it that my tax person just did my return? They told me last year my profit was $100,000. I owe $30,000 or $40,000 to the IRS. I have $10,000 in the bank account. What the heck just happened to me? And I can go through your information and I can explain. I already know what the answer probably
You've
is.
You've heard that enough.
Because I've heard it enough, but I can prove it to you with numbers. Yeah. So the answer is typically, well, first off, if you're now having your return for 24 done and we're in September of 25, your tax person's telling you information that's 9 months old, you know, 8.5 months old. And so a lot of things have passed. So you're trying to compare last year's profit, you know, net profit to today's bank account balance. So much time has passed. Yep.
You can
so
also tell they're not accruing.
Exactly.
That from the beginning.
Exactly. And so timing is the first piece of it. And then the other part of it is your P&L only tells you part of your story. It's only showing your income and your expenses. It does not show how much money did you use to pay off debt.
Yep.
Or the other part of it is distributions to the owners.
Yep.
And so those two pieces are not on your P&L. So $100,000 was a legit answer on your tax return.
Right.
But I can tell you, I can get you from point A to point B and I can explain what that is. That doesn't mean it's a great answer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not happy. Like my whole thing is I want you now, I don't do tax work. I used 2 years ago. I don't now, but I want you to pay the least amount of tax legally. Mm-hmm. And so I would still probably want to have a conversation with your tax person. Is there something we can do to lower the tax bill? You can't do it now. Like now it's too late for last year, but in 25, what can we do for 25 taxes that are due next year? So I'd still want to have that conversation. And sometimes other tax preparers are not open to me coming involved, and that's fine. But I will hand my client a list. Here's the questions. Tell me the answers. Yeah. And then we'll have another conversation.
So I guess one of the things I really like is that you can help and know how to help a solopreneur, mm-hmm. but also someone that's reached $1 million a year.
Absolutely.
And then someone that's at 10 million or 15, you know how to take them to the next level. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I have probably just as many clients that are like under $500,000 a year as clients over 10 million. Mm. They have different problems. Not that either one of them has better problems or worse problems than the other, because you'd be surprised. Just because you hit $10 million in revenue, you still have problems. I have a lot of clients who are like, if I can just hit $1 million, everything will be so much better. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you won't have the problems you have today, but you're going to have different problems. Yeah. So there's definitely iterations where you hit a certain revenue point and you will have different problems. Other problems get solved and then new problems get created. Yep. And in the last session, you know, we were talking about vanity metrics and we brought up the idea of, you know, a lot of people hinge on total annual revenue.
Yeah.
And my point was, Uber has been around for years. They went public in 2019 and their top line gross revenue is like in the multiple billions. We're talking like $20 billion to $30 or $40 billion a year. They had net losses. So just because you hit a certain revenue each year does not guarantee you have money in the bank or a profit at the end of the year. And so Uber from 2019 and I think through 22 had a net loss.
Yeah.
And then what a lot of people, you know, the articles in the news, they'll, you know, the fear mongering and all that, but creating hate. But as soon as Uber has a profit, you know, and I honestly don't remember what their profit was when they started posting a profit, but say it's $100 million. Oh, they're so greedy. They keep upping the rates and all that. Well, okay, you know what? They just had like 4 years of net loss in the billions.
Yeah.
That means they had debt. Yeah. So just because they had a $100 million profit, it's going to take years, decades. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people get caught up in this idea that because a P&L and a tax return is for a very specific 1 year period, typically a calendar year. And so I think a lot of firm owners, because I mean, face it, like, as a CPA, I have an accounting degree. That did not teach me to be a business owner. I kind of felt comfortable being a business owner. I'm like, I'm a CPA. I know numbers. I know taxes. I'm good. Yeah. I was so blown out of the water. There were so many mistakes. I mean, 20 years of being a business owner, it's a lot of life lessons that I've learned personally.
Yeah, there's operations. Yeah. There's marketing. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot to it. There's a little bit of IT.
Absolutely. You know. Yeah. I mean, picking out a phone system. I mean, email. My email's evolved. I went from a physical server, and at one point I had a, I think it's called PBX for my phone. Like, I had my own phone server. So, I mean, just crazy things. And I've learned so much and I can actually, you know, maintain my website if I need to, but you know, and I had my podcast. If I needed to, I could do from start to finish. But then it becomes like the cost benefit. Where am I best spending my time? You know, so sometimes that's where you get to where you need to start delegating things.
Similar in a law firm, right?
Absolutely.
So as you're growing, you need to make decisions on where you need to spend your time. Should treat you like $1,000 an hour billable person. So let's make sure you're in the right area because your time is really limited.
Yeah. I mean, I will walk through with clients. If somebody says to me, you know, oh my gosh, I'm working a ton of hours and I need to hire somebody, but I don't even know what to have them do. And I'm like, okay, well, that's actually probably the best position in my opinion, because you can create a very unique job description. And what I have clients do in that situation, I'll say, okay, make a list of everything. It's a time study. So let's do a time study for 1 week. Literally every work thing you do for 7 days.
Yeah, let's log it.
Log it.
Yeah.
What did you do? How long did it take? And that's just your simple task at that point. And then once you get through the week, go back through the list. Okay, of all the things you did, what did you love doing? What did you hate doing? Now everything in your hate column. That's everything right away. I don't care what it is. We're going to get rid of that. That's going to start your job description for who you're going to hire. Now, I will admit then it becomes a little harder, because if you have very diverse things that you need somebody to do, it's very hard to find a unicorn.
Yeah.
So that becomes a different issue. But it's harder, in my opinion, if you just say, if you put an ad out and say, well, I need a receptionist. And that's not really what you need.
Right.
Yes, you need somebody who answers the phone and takes walk-in, you know, people that come in for appointments or whatever. But you may need them to do, like, run to the post office, run, you know, drop stuff at the bank, which aren't highly skilled things, but they may not be willing to leave the office. Or they may not have a car.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not have the ability to run errands. So there's things that it'd be nice before you hired a person to know what they are willing and capable of doing.
Yeah.
Right?
So one of the things you'll notice is, one of Kelly's strengths is she's also a strategist, right? So she doesn't just count beans.
Right.
Like, she's thinking about how you grow a firm and how you make business decisions and how to free up cash so that you can do the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
And we get an opportunity to work and strategize with Lucine Agajanian, who has a real strong operations background.
Yeah.
Mine is marketing, yours is finance. So,
absolutely.
You know, one of the things I noticed in here is there were people that were saying, wow, like, I'd love to work with you. Like, can I afford?
Right.
You know, like, what is a fractional CFO? Like, because
you
offer those services.
Right.
But in their mind, they're thinking, I can't get this kind of help. Like, I can't afford this.
Like, I'm too small. I can't afford. I mean, I hear that so often. And I'm like, you know what? Well, first off, we haven't really shared pricing. But for me, I actually scale my pricing based on where you are revenue wise. So it's the same service. But I know somebody that's at 200,000 that wants to hit 500,000, that wants to hit 1 million. I'm willing to walk that whole journey with them. So I'm willing to lower my rate. And I don't bill on an hourly basis. I have flat rates. So, you know, it's a 12-month contract with monthly fees. And it's unlimited access. Like, I'm not gating anything. It's, you know, I'm not going to limit anything. But you're getting so much knowledge from a fractional professional, like a C-suite person. And it amazes me, because I honestly, when I kind of, I hesitated going to the market as a fractional CFO. I had been the CFO of a publicly traded bank 1,000 years ago. And I hesitated being self-employed and saying I'm a fractional CFO, because it's that perception of, oh my gosh, people can't afford, like, CFOs are for publicly traded companies on, you know, stock exchange.
That's a good point,
And that's not true. The whole reason why we're fractional is because you're getting our experience and our knowledge, and I don't know the best way to say it, but we're downsizing the pricing. Like, you're getting our knowledge and expertise, but we're downsizing the price. So like, a fractional CFO, a full-time CFO starts at like $200,000 a year. You're not paying $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Fraction. You're paying a portion of that. And then I may have, you know, 20, 30, 40 clients. So combined, I'm getting the salary.
Yeah.
But among everybody. And then I'm splitting my time amongst other clients because you don't need me full time.
Yeah.
That's the other half
and
of it. Like,
you're
the balance
niche,
part.
Right. So, like, you're not running through. Yeah. I work with law firms too. You know, it's unlikely that you're going to bring something to me that I've never heard of.
Exactly.
Right. And so I can solve that very quickly.
Exactly.
So it's not going to take a lot of time.
Exactly. That's the other part of it. Like, I've niched with law firms. I've had my accounting firm for 20 years. Now, I admit I did the worst thing ever. And I started off with, if you walk through my office door and you were willing to pay me, I was willing to do the work. And so yeah. I've worked. So over time, I worked with a dog groomer, a print shop, a retail store, an online store. Like, yeah. I've done a whole
those
bunch.
First
like, I've
year
dabbled.
Or two.
Yes.
Right.
Those first couple years was horrible.
Right.
And I didn't really choose legal. I had, I was telling somebody this morning, they're like, how did you end up in law, like legal industry? And I said, well, years ago, I had an office, I had staff, we did tax work. Middle tax season, like middle of February, I have an attorney call me. He had been in-house counsel. And the company was closing and he needed a job. So he's like, I'm going to start a firm. And, you know, he called me like a Monday or Tuesday and said, I need to meet with you by Friday so I can start my law firm. And I'm sitting here like, as a tax person, I'm worrying about last year's taxes that are due in a couple of weeks. I don't have the like capacity, but he was very demanding. And I was like, well, if this, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep thinks that he can demand my time. You know, I was on the floor laughing in my office. My staff came in and they're like, and I said, this guy really thinks I'm going to drop everything to help him start a firm.
Yeah,
this
the
is
last
crazy.
Minute, really.
Exactly. At the last, yeah. And it's something they can wait a couple of weeks. It's not a big deal. And, you know, he ended up coming. I said, fine, here's the date and time, show up. And he did. And he and I ended up becoming best friends. And then he referred me to another firm who referred me to another firm. And over time, I'm talking to my business coach and she's like, we really should niche. Like, I still had a general website and marketing messages and stuff like that. And my business coach is like, no, you really should niche. Cause I think if you just harness, and she goes, what does your client list look like? And I'm like, oh my God, 80% of my clients are law firms.
Yeah.
And then as I talk to more of my accounting friends, they're like, most of them, like a big majority of my business friends are like, I will not work with lawyers. I do not trust them. I don't trust that if I make a human mistake, I'm going to get sued.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing for them. They can just do it, right?
Yeah,
they don't
free.
Have to hire an attorney.
I'll fire
so,
you. I'll sue you.
So it's that and trust accounting. And so trust accounting is just a little bit uniqueness to it, that if you just do one thing wrong, your books are a mess. And I've had friends who are like, I've been in that situation. Either I inherited mess and I couldn't figure it out, or something happened, like a staff person at the firm did something and messed it all up, and then I couldn't fix it. And so, and there's the weight of the world, and I feel it sometimes too, because if your trust account doesn't balance and you get busted by the state bar, you can lose your practice, your
there's
license.
There's a lot at stake.
There's just huge amount of stake. So I get that part.
Which is another reason why having a professional like fractional CFO, especially
absolutely.
Now that people understand it, it's very affordable.
It is.
It's very affordable.
It absolutely is.
Let's see. Now, the session you just got out, can you give us one kind of final thing? Like if someone that was thinking about hiring, you know, a fractional CFO, they were finally motivated, like, I want to understand my financials.
Right.
Can you give them just one or two things to start with?
Yeah, I mean, right away, if you have a bookkeeper or a tax preparer that you work with, and most firms do, just ask if they offer it. Because I found that there are a lot of bookkeeping firms that they have, and they might not have a CPA on staff or somebody willing to do CFO work, but they know somebody. So, but if you have the ability to, between your tax preparer and your bookkeeper, if they work with somebody already, then they probably have this jive, you know, they probably already work together very well. And so that would be the first step, is not necessarily that they will provide it, but do they know somebody that, because they probably have another client that has somebody. I'm always, you know, happy to take calls and, you know, see if, you know, if something can work, we can work something out. But it really comes down to, you know, finding the person that works well with you. A lot of it's personality based. I've had leads that I had one where, oh my God, it was a horrible call and it went forever. My curiosity calls, my discovery calls are 30 minutes. This was an hour and a half because she just kept talking. And essentially what she wanted from me is to tell her to close her firm. The whole call. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And this was probably 2 years ago, and I just won't ever forget it. But we just kept, and I'm like, I gotta go. I have another appointment. And she just kept talking, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And but she just kept going on about how she hated the marketing. She hated worrying about intake. She had staff that she hated. They hated her. I mean, it was this whole dramatic thing. And I finally got to the point where I'm like, hey, if I remember right, your law firm is not named your name. It's a trade name, right? And she goes, yeah. And I said, oh my God, here's your answer. No. You're just going to sell
it. Because you hate it.
Because you hate it.
So sell
and
it.
You really want to practice law. Yeah. And it was one of those situations where she started her firm because she was somewhere. And I can't remember if the firm closed or something happened somehow and she was out of a job. And like the thing was she needed money and she had clients. So she already had a client base. Yeah. So she just, you know, rented an office, jumped in, but she wasn't good managing people. Her staff, I really do think they probably did hate her because I was like, well, do you help them and teach them what to do? No, they should just know it. It was like all the wrong answers for a manager, let alone a firm, you know, owner. And, but yeah, we just got to the end and I'm like, I really think you need to sell. And I hate that conversation because I celebrate being a small business owner. I mean, it's been a huge accomplishment and it's not all been roses. Like I've had my ups and downs like anybody else. And anybody who says that it's been amazing from day one is a big fat liar. Yeah. But or they have somebody paying the bills for them. I don't know. But yeah, I think if you know, to find a fractional CFO, like the big thing in my mind, the two big questions are, do you already have a professional, do you have a relationship with a professional that either has somebody on staff that can help you and they just don't market it? Cause that's very possible. CPAs are horrible and accounting people are just horrible at marketing. And so they may even have somebody that they can connect you with either in-house or through an association. And then the second part is to start finding, I had shared in the session, you know, ChatGPT, like here's my problem. Can you help me find somebody that can help me? Like what questions do I ask? Like what help do I need? So, I had talked to a couple people, you know, throughout this conference and the one person I spoke to asked me a lot of questions and they were great questions and I answered all of them. And then we got to the end and his last question stuck with me and it really came down to marketing. And I'm like, okay, you probably do need my help, but I think you need the marketing help first. Yep. because his thing was like, everything's going status quo, but he needs more work. And I'm like, okay, well, you need the leads you need the marketing help first. So that's a conversation where I'm like, I'm willing to help you, but my first suggestion is find marketing first. Get the money coming in, then let's figure out how to spend it wisely.
And you and I work together.
Yeah.
But we're also my case consultants.
Absolutely.
Right. So one of the things that can help a law firm is if they don't have good systems, they definitely could look at my case.
Absolutely.
Because it's got a lead marketing side that could be very powerful. Mm-hmm. And then it's also got the accounting side.
Absolutely.
Right. So we're here at Kaleidoscope. My case is one of the products in the 8 a.m. portfolio.
Right.
So definitely worth checking that one out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I like so I think one of the questions that we had in this last session, we scrapped it, but we were talking about what systems and how many systems should you have? And I like the idea of the least amount of systems because the more, as you have more systems, so like a CRM, so if you have a CRM that's different from your case management, that's different from your bookkeeping, there's not a problem with that inherently, but hopefully they're talking to each other.
Integration.
Exactly. Because you don't like, and then that integration works. I mean, that's the other part of it. Yeah. So, because when one of that breaks, that's
and they can.
A problem. And they can.
And you don't necessarily get a notification.
Correct. Because one of those updated something.
Especially with Zapier.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
It's a little tricky, but you need the integrations if you're not going to have one tool, like in my case, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Right? Absolutely.
So, well, thank you for your time.
Yeah,
congratulations
absolutely.
On an incredible session.
You.
The room was full and you just crushed it.
Yeah, I love doing this stuff. I love being able to talk to people and, you know, give them the inspiration that, you know, to know they're not alone and that there is hope that they can fix
help
things.
Them make the next couple of steps.
Absolutely. Right? What is the next step? That's the thing. Just get me to the next step.
So anyone that is like, I'm going to take the plunge, right? Can they reach you?
Will
you
absolutely.
Share how to reach you?
Yeah. So you can either find me on LinkedIn and I'm pretty sure I just looked this up and I'm pretty sure it's at Kelly Brubaker and Kelly is spelled with an EY. And then, so if you don't find me on LinkedIn, my firm's name is Profit Scale Thrive. So the website is ProfitScaleThrive.com. And between the two of those, you can be able to find me and I'm more than happy. I meet with prospects for free and, you know, let's just jump on a call to see if we're going to work out. Like what is your problem and can I help you?
Yeah.
Like, how's that going to work? And we can talk about the possibilities.
And they can schedule on your website?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a link on my website. I have Calendly to set up appointments. It's always updated. So whatever my availability is, find your best appointment, make it happen.
Yeah. So if you're ready to profit, scale, and thrive, mm-hmm. we have the solution for you. You need to meet Kelly Brubaker. This is Scott Berry. Thank you for your time.